I'm Garrett, I'm an addict.
Hey, Garrett.
You guys hear me okay? Everything's good?
All right, dude.
All right, hello. So yeah, thank you for the nice introduction. I'm actually sitting, we live at a boarding kennel, so I'm literally probably about 100 feet away from about 50 dogs. There's a rabbit right behind me tearing up some carrots right now. I have two dogs and a cat. I manage this boarding kennel. My wife works for the biggest animal shelter in Pittsburgh. So yeah, if you're looking for some animal lovers, that would be us. I'm not really sure why we didn't enter our pets into the, it would have been fair, I guess, if we entered our dog. My dog, who I've had since I had about 6 months clean, we're definitely won the cutest dog contest part. So we left it fair to the rest of you guys. Anyway, this is weird to me. I think Alex asked me to speak when all this stuff very first started, like that very first Friday when everything was going into lockdown, and I couldn't because we were having like a clandestine meeting at, we actually have a training center here at the kennel. So it's like a big old garage. We were still doing some meetings on the down low there before everything got real crazy. And, I don't think I was really prepared at that time to understand what was about to take place with my life being consumed with, Zoom meetings and laptops. And, you know, it's just, and then it was like, I kind of thought I was done with the Zoom meetings. And then Desiree, honestly, when Desiree asked me to do this, I thought she was asking me to be a judge of a pet contest. I wasn't really sure what the hell. I was like, what? She wants me to come to Indiana to judge a pet contest. I wasn't really sure at first. And I was like, oh, okay. So just when I thought I was done with the Zoom meetings, here we are. So I'm surprised there's anybody here, as nice as it is out and things starting to open up.
I can't hear him.
I can't hear him either. He's frozen.
He's frozen.
He's frozen.
Oh. Can you hear me okay?
Now we can hear you.
Now
I can hear you now.
For a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. So my wife's in the other room and just came out and said I was frozen. So I don't know how much of that you even heard. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just pick up from where I left off. I just was talking about how I would never say no to Narcotics Anonymous and, no matter what. And I would hear this a lot when I first got clean, like Narcotics Anonymous has to be the most important thing in your life. And like, I had a hard time believing that for quite some time. But, I believe with all my heart at this point in my life that it is the most important thing that must happen. I must stay clean before all else. I must have a connection with my higher power. And what I like to do, last few times I've spoken, I've gotten way off track. So I think it's important for me to always talk about the basics first, like just because I want to get that. Like even when I do H&I, and I've had an H&I commitment since I had 6 months clean. I've never not had an H&I commitment, whether it be at the jail or a rehab or another jail or another rehab. I just always had an H&I commitment. I believe in that full-heartedly. There's the front lines of us carrying our message, but I know that it's important for me to just talk about the basics. And so, like Desiree said, my home group, Monday Night Meditation, we're very fortunate. We've been able to meet the last couple of weeks. So we've been having some meetings in person, but I've always had a home group. My home group is very important. We started this meeting based on the practice of meditation. You know, it's an NA meeting with a 5-minute meditation beforehand. We have an 11-step speaker the fourth Monday of every month, and then, we usually do a 10-minute meditation with the speaker as well. So that's been about going on almost four years now. That's been my home group, and it's been amazing. I've made some really good relationships there. And I do believe that's a foundation for building relationships through those home groups, people you get to see on a consistent basis. And then obviously I could go on and on about the steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And I think what I'd like to share about probably the most tonight would probably be the 12th step, you know, just because what's going on in the world, in my life, and practicing principles in all of affairs. I'm not sure there's ever a more pertinent time than right now to talk about that. But, you know, obviously I have a sponsor. You know, I have developed the higher power through Narcotics Anonymous in the attending of meetings also. You know, last week I think I went to 4 meetings. That's the most meetings I've been to in quite some time. 3 of those were in person. That was crazy to me. You know, and I did 1 online meeting, but, I was just talking with Rich before this started, and he has gotten some amazing speakers here the last couple of months. You know, I kind of really started to get away from the Zoom meetings. They just weren't doing it for me, man. I found it really easy to tune out during a Zoom meeting. I found it easy to flip my laptop shut, or someone was sharing something I didn't really find any related. I was just like on my phone. I was watching YouTube, you know, and that's what I wouldn't do that in a regular meeting ever. I would sit there and listen to it. So I found myself just really getting away from the message of Narcotics Anonymous. So, I was committing to go into my home group. I was committing to go and put possibly one other meeting, but really started to get and listen to some speakers. And Rich had a lady speak. A couple weeks ago now. I believe she was in Baltimore. Megan and I went to go hiking that Saturday morning. It was right after she had spoken. And we decided to listen to her lead on the way up to hiking. And I was just in a funk with NA and the online meetings and just life in general. I mean, shit's heavy right now in the world, right? And this lady, I can't even remember, I wish I remember her name, Richard, but she talked about, and it just hit me, her first drug of choice was attention. I love that shit, man.
You're freezing up again.
I related to that, and then I listened to what she had to say, and she gave this clear, concise NA message. It wasn't full of like crazy war stories or this or that. It was just like talking about the steps, the higher power, a home group, service, and it was just, it's just exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. And I had talked to some sponsees, and I highly suggested you listen to this woman share. But when she talked about that first drug of choice being attention, man, that just resonated with me. I'll give you a quick backstory. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I'm an only child and I grew up, I knew I was loved. I didn't have a bad upbringing. It wasn't rough. But I was left on my own devices quite some, God damn the sun. It's right in my eyeball. There we go. Maybe that's a little bit better. But I just knew that I always needed to be seen. And I just never felt like I was, you know, like I had a mom that worked full time, I had a grandmother that took care of me. I needed attention. I would buy shoes that normally I probably wouldn't have worn. I wear an outfit that I normally wouldn't have worn just so, hey, look at me. And that's just an awkward place to be at, you know, and, I really liked listening to what she had to say about that because it made me think about some things. And, she was talking about her sponsorship and I was like thinking about that because about rates, I guess it was around February, I switched sponsors. I had the same sponsor for about 8 years of my recovery. My clean date is 10/18/09, so I'm a little over 10 years and some change clean. And I had the same sponsor. I'd worked almost all the steps with the same sponsor. And it was about a year ago, I just started to feel that something about my relationship with that gentleman should change. He and I have become very good friends. And it just wasn't the same relationship that I thought. And at the time I was really, really into this mantra, this idea, like whatever is uncomfortable, I should probably lean into that. Whatever that is, you know, it's been my life. Whatever seems uncomfortable, whatever feels uncomfortable, I shy away from. I think that's the addict in all of us. What's the softest, easiest way to get somewhere? And, I would listen to this guy talk about lean into the uncomfortability. And, I started thinking, man, and you know, if NA has taught me not to make any rash decisions, not to any up and say, hey, I'm just going to do this on a whim. I took some time and I talked about it with other recovering addicts. I talked about it with my higher power. I talked about it probably ad nauseum with some people. They were probably like, dude, just do it already. Just come on, man. Just do it. I'm tired of hearing about it. And I went to a meeting on a Friday night and I heard a gentleman share something. I just knew in that moment that was the guy who wanted to sponsor me, you know, significant amount of clean time, almost 40 years clean. And I was like, I want to talk to that guy. So I went up to talk to him and that's a big deal for me in itself. You know, I attribute that to NA and like me being able to go up to another man and say, hey, can I have your phone number? I want to talk to you. It's still wildly uncomfortable for me. But I still do it because I know that's what gives me some freedom is being able to connect with some men in this process. And he and I went out, had lunch a couple times, and we talked, and I just knew that was the decision I wanted to go with. So talk about being an uncomfortable phone call to make to someone who I respect and I love dearly. And it's, I mean, I was just away with him last weekend, my old sponsor. So it's not like something terrible happened where I can't stand the guy. I love the guy with all my heart, but it was like, I mean, when I called him, you know, he and I have got to this point where we have like our own little language, our own like, and most 90% of the time it's like ball busting, just nonsense talk. And I remember I called him and said, hey man, I'm going to go, I had to say it. I asked a new guy to be my sponsor. His name's Dave. He said, yes, it'd be an honor. And I said, all right. I knew if I didn't make that decision in that moment to like go out to my car and call my old sponsor and say, this is what I'm thinking, it would have just prolonged it. I would have just sat there and dwelled on it. And it's like, I felt like I was breaking up with someone, like, no, it's not you, it's me type thing. And it really was that though. I remember I called him and he didn't believe me. I called him and say, I'm going to go ahead and go a different direction with a sponsorship. I'm going to get a new sponsor. He's like, yeah. Okay. And he named some names that we kind of always joked about. So he's like, you're going with so-and-so. I'm like, no, I'm being serious, man. He's like, oh, it was just awkward silence. And I was like, I'm just sitting there. He's sitting there. I was like, all right, man, well, I'm going to go then later. kind of hung up and, I was up in my head about that for about 2 days. We didn't talk. And then he called me, and this is a testament to Narcotics Anonymous. He called me, and it was probably one of the better phone calls I've ever had in my entire recovery, maybe in my entire life. He called me and said, I value our friendship above anything else. I don't need a title of sponsor or sponsee to continue this friendship. I love you, man. And like, whatever you feel the need is the right thing to do for your recovery, go ahead and do that. You know, and I love you. And, that was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful thing. It was beautiful to be able to like just have that freedom. And I mean, I was doing the decision no matter what he felt about it. You know, I wasn't, but to have him be on board and talk about it. And, it's just a cool thing, man. So I was just thinking about that today. Cause I just talked to my sponsor this morning, and we were talking about kind of the state of the world and how heavy things are. And, just got me really thinking, like, I really feel I made it right. It's hard because I had that relationship with a sponsor that, if I called him and said, hey, my mom's driving me crazy, I don't have to give the whole backstory as to why and the years of step work and talking about things. He knows. There's a baseline already established with that gentleman. And it's tough to get into that groove with somebody, especially after and here we are now with, like, that's when all the COVID stuff hit and we really couldn't get together and meet. And we were talking. It's just not the same, you know. So we've been making an effort to really talk two or three times a week on the phone. Again, man, I don't doubt that I made the right decision because I really felt I ran through my higher power in Narcotics Anonymous. But anyway, I was thinking about that. We talked about the 12-step part of everything, right? You know, and I really like the end of that part is, the end of the 12-step. You know, we practice these principles in all of our affairs because, I don't want to get off topic. I don't want to get too deep into anything outside of Narcotics Anonymous, man. What's going on in the world right now is just like, it's just weighing on me, you know, all the time. Like we went away last weekend doing what I love to do. We went away backpacking, you know, Friday, Saturday, came out Sunday. And, usually when that happens, we go places where I don't have cell phone service. So we went, didn't really know what was going on, you know, left Friday. Like I was telling you guys earlier, we were able to have breakfast at an actual restaurant, and then we went out into the woods for a night. Came back Sunday to find out like the world's even crazier off its axis than it was when I left. And I do that thing, man, where like something's like uncomfortable for me or something bothers me, and I'm able to my whole life I'm able to put things in a little box in my head and just like I'll deal with that later. A lot of things go in that category, but what NA has taught me is, man, that's just not the way to deal with things. That's not the way to like let that energy flow through you, is to like put it in a box and like talk about dealing with it later. So I went to my home group on Monday. Let me back up a minute. I went to, I was in my car, and I really have made an effort in my life I'm not on Facebook. I do have Instagram, but most of my Instagram stuff, my name on Instagram is actually Hikes and Dogs. So it's mostly just hiking and dogs. I keep it pretty simple with I don't have a Facebook account anymore. Like it's just, I try to, and my new sponsor, I keep calling my new sponsor. I should probably just call him my sponsor, but we had talked about this, and he's like, you know, I give myself 5 minutes of news time a day just so I'm aware of what's going on in the world, and then that's about it. And I've been trying to really practice that, not getting caught up in like the ups and downs of what's going on with the world. But I found myself listening to talk radio that Monday, and I was telling some other people this, man. I was sitting in a Starbucks parking lot, and I think the weight of the world just hit me. I mean, I just started crying in my car. But I was thinking about like what's going on. I haven't felt this kind of emotion probably since my dad died, and that's been about going on 3 years, almost 4 years now. I haven't felt that kind of emotion, that kind of like overwhelming, like I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do with this feeling. Not really sure I can do anything about it. What can I do? And of course I called my sponsor, I called some other people and I talked about it, and that made me feel a little bit better, but it was like, God, man, this, I'm not sure anything has ever felt like this in my, it's just when I've been clean. I don't know. I've never felt like this amount of like heaviness in the air, you know, everywhere I go, it's just heavy. Everywhere I drive, there's just some crazy shit going on out there. And, so I went to my home group that Monday, that was the last Monday, and, We've been picking some literature. It's like Cherish Choice, pick some literature to read. And we read a part out of Living Clean. And there's a part in there. And it talks about love, effort, and commitment. And I'm a big acronym guy. So I just kept saying LEC, LEC, so I could remember those three things. And like, I was really sitting there thinking about like that love, effort, and commitment. Cause those spiritual principles, you know, like we talked about in the end of the 12th step there. I need to practice those in all of my affairs. And so I really started to think, maybe especially after Monday night, I shared about this. I've been really just trying to like be aware of my thoughts and my process here. But let me back that up, man. That's probably the first time like I brushed over that little part. First time I probably thought about getting high in quite some time was that Monday. I'm sitting in my car, you know, these emotions come over me and I was thinking like, I don't really know the drug that I would really want to do. I don't really know. I'm sure I could find it, but like it's not readily available. Right across the street was like a Get-Go. I know they like serve alcohol in there now. And I was just thinking for a brief moment, that fleeting thought came in like, you just drink, dude. And, you know, I'm not immune to that shit, man. I know plenty of people that have multiple years clean, decade clean plus that have in the last couple of years have relapsed brutally and like given this whole thing up. And, I really feel like if I don't share about that, if I don't talk about it, man, it's really, that's on me at this point, you know? I got to get it out there to you guys. And I shared about that in my home group. I'm sharing about it again now. And that feeling's kind of gone away, but it's a scary thing to think, man. Like, I'm still an addict. I still see the world through addict eyes. You know, I still see the world like, what's the quickest, easiest way to get out of these feelings? It's probably to get fucked up. I don't want to do that today, man. So went to my home group. We talked about it. We had some really good talks. I just been thinking, man, that love. That love is like the universal thing, man. It's always going to be all right. And what I know today is that I need to really love myself more than anything. If I'm not loving myself, I'm not taking care of myself, especially through the way we do here in Narcotics Anonymous with a higher power, with some other recovering addicts, by going to meetings, by being of service, by answering my phone and other addict calls, if I'm not doing all those things, I believe that's the most loving thing I can do for myself is be in this process, be in this mix, stay in the middle of this damn thing and like not give up my seat here. If I'm doing those things, I'm able to be loving to other people. I'm able to be more loving to my children. I'm able to be more loving and a little more tolerant to people. I was just thinking, man, if the world could just get a little bit of what we do here, just a little bit, just a sprinkle of like, you know, race, creed, religion, lack of religion. We don't give a shit here. We just don't. You have a problem. What do you want to do about it? Let's help each other. If the world could just get a little bit of that, man. Again, like it's hard for me not to go off track and like start talking. I just am, you know, mentally, like I just love to like do nothing a lot of times. So what I want to do is like, sometimes I like mentally will just, I think about a lot of shit, but like, there's no effort. There's no physical action. It's like anything, you know, there's gotta be some action with it. Whether it was when I first got clean, you know, I could think, you know, there's plenty of times when I was shooting up heroin Track marks on my arm, miserable as fuck, strung out. Just a bunch of bullshit in my head, right? I kind of started thinking about that with like the way I'm viewing the world right now, man. Sometimes I'm able to take in some information and just put it away and not really do much with that. So I think me as an individual, as a man, I need to put a little more effort into being I hate to use the word productive, a member of society, but I need to put a little more effort into being aware of what's going on around me, educate myself a little bit more. And another principle that keeps coming up for me is my open-mindedness. I like to think I'm a super open-minded person. And I really am to a certain extent, but there's some stuff, man. I just need to open it up even more. I need to hear some other sides of things. I need to be, just listen. You know, that spiritual principle of just listening, you know, without trying to reply, without having a slick comeback, without trying to get something out of it, just listen. And that's not always, cause I got an opinion about everything, you know, that's part of the reason I don't do a whole lot of social media stuff, man. Cause I don't feel I need to spout my opinion off. Now, if there was like a Facebook for experience only, that would be pretty badass. If you could only share on there if it was your experience, right? I don't know if that exists, but, and the other part of that thing was that the love, effort, and commitment, man. I was thinking about the commitment I have to Narcotics Anonymous and how because of the pain in my life, because of the things I've put myself through, my family through, I was able to commit to this thing pretty wholeheartedly. And this isn't my first clean date, you know. I tried before. I was never really, I'd be like half committed to something like that. I like the idea of going to meetings. I like the idea of, that was about it, honestly. When I would try to get clean, I'd be like, I like going to meetings. Those were cool. There were people that were as fucked up as I was and their thinking was as crazy as mine was, but like, I wasn't committed to doing any other further work. You're talking about step work. You're talking about higher power, nah, I'm good on that. You're talking about having a commitment to something, an H&I commitment, a service commitment, like, nah, not my thing. But the pain was great enough at one point where like I was all in and I was committed to this thing. I was committed to everything I just talked about, those basics of Narcotics Anonymous, whatever you guys told me it was, I was willing to do. So if I'm going to truly practice these principles in all of my affairs, I need to be committed to like really practicing these principles in all my affairs, not when it suits me. Not when it's like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear about that. It's not my problem. I need to be open, loving, put a little effort into some commitment to like being a better person. And, you know, I think about it, me being a father, I have three children. And I think about it all the time. Like, am I a good father? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I talk to other fathers and I think we all feel like that, even as a parent, not even just a father. Like, am I fucking these kids up worse than they already are? Like, and I heard a guy share once and he was talking about the pane of glass. He's like, look at your kids, like they're like a big window. He's like, you're going to probably put some little scratches in it, a couple of cracks. He's like, just don't shatter that shit, man. He's like, just don't shatter them. Be committed to being a good son. Like back to that commitment, be committed to being a good father, be committed to being present. And like, it's amazing. I have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they're here now. They're actually in the other room and Megan's cooking tacos and I can smell tacos. So I'm probably going to wrap this up pretty soon based off of tacos. You know, but it was just so cool to be able to sit there and listen to them think about how they're viewing the world right now. Not to try to steer them in any direction, not to try to tell them like, hey, you need to think like this. You know what they do, man? They come to me and they ask me stuff. They ask me stuff that they don't ask their mom. They talk to me about stuff they don't talk to their mom about because they know that I'm a good listener. They know that I'm open-minded, man. I'm just listening to what they have to say. And it's cool to see that generation like being a little bit more awoke than I was at that. When I was 14 and 15, man, I was a fucking knucklehead. I was just like a Neanderthal. Really. I really was. Just like girls and drugs. That's all I cared about. You know, like how do I get more? I'm still like that. I'm thinking about tacos right now. So I'm always like, how do I get more, right? But to see like them being able to like talk to me and, you know, when I first got clean, man, I didn't sign up for any of this kind of stuff. I didn't sign up for to be a good dad. I didn't sign up to have spiritual principles run through my life. Talking to other men about like how I feel. Like I just want to stop getting high. That was it. if I could just stop getting high, I felt like the rest of the world, all my other problems would just go away. I'm a smart enough guy. I'm funny enough. I'm witty. I can make, you know, I'm a chameleon. But if I could just stop getting high, that was my only problem. Little did I know my ego was like completely out here. My self-esteem was about this big. And it's like, that's a terrible combination for a human being to navigate through this world. Cause like, I feel it in my heart, man. Like when I talk about Narcotics Anonymous, and my kids know what we do here. My kids know for sure what goes on. We just watched a movie last week and it was based on a recovering addict. And there's some scenes in there where the guy was giving like a lead and they're like, look, dad, it's like you. Yes, it is. And like, I don't have to hide behind that shit anymore, man. I don't have to act like, no, no, it's not what we do. Like, they know right now what I'm doing. Like, they're like, yeah, I got to go speak at this little, like, pet contest thing. They're like, cool, have fun. Like, that's just freedom, man. Like, you guys gave me this ability to be free in my life. I just think about all kinds of stuff. I mean, I could go on and on, and like, I just really feel like right now, I don't know who's it quoted to. Like, you go on enough social media, you read enough things, you'll see stuff like, all these quotes are attributed to different people, but that one thing, like whatever the change you want to see in the world, let it start with you. I just believe that in my heart, full-heartedly. It has to be through me. I can't expect you to be doing some shit if I'm not doing it myself. Like, you know, like my whole life, man, I still buck any idea of people telling me what to do. Oh, tell me to wear a mask. Okay. Begrudgingly will wear my mask. You know, I'm just like, I don't know what that is, man. I still have like that little rebel part of me inside. And I was just, we were talking before this, man. We sat down to eat at that restaurant up there in when the county we were at was green. I was just thinking like, I do this all the time when I go away. We go to some places where there aren't a lot of people. We go to some places where Megan and I, a couple weeks ago, we were just down in West Virginia. We rented a cabin on the Cheat River. It was just us, and we like logged on to like NA to see where the meetings were down there. There was one like on a Wednesday, like 45 minutes away. Another one's on a Thursday, like an hour away. And there's a couple on Friday, like a half hour away. And we're so blessed where we live at, man. You know, where I live out in Pittsburgh, like when things are back to quote unquote normal, like I have my pick of what meetings. I could go to probably 7 different meetings on a Thursday if I wanted to. If I'm willing to drive maybe a half hour. My home group, there's probably 4 meetings around that area, you know. So every time I go away, like I was thinking, I'm sitting at that restaurant looking around thinking like, cause that's very appealing to me, moving somewhere. There's not a lot of people. That's very much probably in my future at some point, either a van or living somewhere where there's not a lot of people around. Where we live out now, we have no neighbors, just dogs. But then I start to think, man, like what wouldn't my life be without Narcotics Anonymous? Like, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, I shared about this at the podium and like this, looks like I was doing a stand-up routine. I remember thinking like, I think the Powerball was worth like $500 million. It was some crazy amount of money, like $500 million. I remember we were driving somewhere and we were talking like, if you won that, what would you do? Probably buy some big piece of plot of land in Montana and live out there away from everyone. Then I started thinking like, without you guys, without Narcotics Anonymous, without what goes on here, without me seeing you guys in person and hearing you and feeling you, I would get high. All the money in the world, man, it wouldn't matter. I would know I would get high. I could not deal with what goes on up in my thick ass head without you guys. I just couldn't. So I don't know what I would do, man. Like I'm just like, traveling around. This one, just for today. I don't know what tomorrow is like, man. I have no idea, but like just for today, I know I'm safe and I'm secure in the love of. I'm able to come on a Zoom meeting, see some people I love in an area I love. Second in my heart is the Laurel Mountain Highlands. And I just know, man, like I am secure in the love of here, and I'm not willing just for today to see what the other side's like. Just not. So I'm going to wake up again tomorrow and probably just do the same damn thing I did today. I'm going to pray. I'm probably going to talk to my sponsor. I live with another recovering addict who I respect the shit out of their program. And I've already got like 3 meetings planned out for next week, man. It's just what I do. I cannot wait till my H&I opens back up. So I can get back in there, you know, but in the meantime, man, I'm just going to keep answering the phone, my sponsees call. I'm going to keep reaching out. I'm going to keep being in this, staying in the middle of this thing. I love you guys. And thanks for asking me to speak. I'm going to go eat some tacos now. Love you guys. Thank you.